This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 533. I am Brian Kilby. And with me this week, I am joined by Diecast, who doesn't look his age.
Sometimes.
And Chris, who started to look his age.
But I'm so much older on the inside.
This is
true. He looks older on the outside.
So the reason I'm saying this is because Triplett got carded today. He hasn't gotten carded in years, but I, up into like our late 20s, he got carded all the time for buying like R-rated movies, and it's just kind of funny.
Yeah, I don't even think the clerks were worried about his age. I think they just specifically wanted to embarrass him.
Probably. Speaking, Don, do you ever embarrass anybody?
Not that I can mention on the air in public.
Gotcha.
Just the rest of us.
And Matt. Rob?
Hi.
How's it going?
Not too bad.
You don't get carded, do you?
No, I do not.
And John Delona. John, how's it going? Everything good?
Good. Yep.
Man, I am tired. I am just like completely exhausted. So I've had a busy day at work, one. But the eclipse on Monday completely threw me off. So anybody...
Did you go to sleep when the sun went away?
Yeah. I really did. So I have never experienced a full solar eclipse before. And it was the most freaky thing I've ever seen. No wonder people who didn't understand what was going on sacrificed other people to stop that thing. It was freaking weird and awesome and beautiful and wonderful, and it was pretty amazing. But I had to get up really early to get to South Carolina to see it. And I started doing two daily podcasts, two short-form podcasts that post each day. I post them at night, and I had to stay up late to record them. So I do a podcast called The Happy Daily, which is basically The Happy Day in Wilkes, but now I do it every day. It's available on the Amazon Echo, so that's pretty much the reason I do it. So if you go to if you have an Echo, you go to the Alexa app, search for Radio Free Cybertron, and you'll actually find the two shows that I do, and you can actually add it to your daily flash briefing. It's pretty awesome. The other is the Radio Free Cybertron Transformers Daily News. So we started doing that. They're both also available on iTunes and on Google Play Music, but they're really formatted for the Alexa. I shouldn't have said that. Now she's... No, nothing. Ignore that. Please.
Stop that.
Sorry. I'm not sure.
Okay. She's formatted. The podcasts are formatted to go to the flash briefing. Actually, let's do this. Hey, Alexa, flash briefing.
Here's your flash briefing. From Radio Free Cybertron.
See, that's awesome. Alexa, stop. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. You can actually listen to the stuff every day if you have an Amazon
Echo.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm pretty happy about it. But it takes a lot of work, and I want to add a third one, but I don't hate myself that much.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do.
And we ruined it for like three or four people who follow us on Twitter.
That's okay. I just had to rush to get it done a little more quickly. It's A-okay. But if you don't have an Echo, look on Amazon, on iTunes and Google Play Music for RFC Daily and Happy Daily, you can find it.
You know what I learned about the Lex or the Amazon Echoes?
What?
They will work as intercoms in your house.
Yes.
Because you can name it and you can call the other one.
Do not just in your house. Hey, Alexa, send Diecast a message. Brian is awesome. There you go. So hopefully that will show up at Diecast's house.
You know, I'm not sure if I would want that much interconnectivity with the outside world.
Or with Diecast.
I like shutting off the outside world sometimes and pretending it doesn't exist.
My God, we have to buy one for Don. Yes. So that way we can leave him messages all day.
When that feature went live.
That's why I have an answering machine.
Yes, when that feature went live, Diecast was harassing me with messages. It was pretty awesome, actually.
The thing is, so you have to get Don one of those, but you also have to go to his house and hide it somewhere in his house without him knowing about it.
He doesn't have Wi-Fi, so it wouldn't work.
Oh. Well, that's all right. We can get a router now for what, like $20?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. No, I can't afford the Wi-Fi from my cable company.
That's not how Wi-Fi works.
Yeah, it is for Don, though. Hey, anybody? Don didn't get Wi-Fi this week, but did anybody else get anything?
I got some stuff.
Several of us got some stuff.
Yes.
I got Deluxe Wave 5. Is that the right wave? The one with Windblade?
Yes, that's 5.
Yeah, so I got that wave, the 3 new ones. And I also got Seeds on Cybertron.
Me too.
Yeah, me 3. That's what I got this week. You're welcome.
For Matt, because I know he's going to be jealous. I got Sharktacons. Sharktacons. Because that's just how they spell the knockoff. And this is a 3-pack, and 2 of them are regular. And then you get one little
my God.
clear Sharktacon dude.
Who made
and
that?
It's one of those knockoff mech fans.
Oh, tools. This is the one with the stolen art.
Yeah. This is the stolen art, and they have
wrist. We should have bought that diecast. They steal art.
They steal a lot of stuff. So you know what's throw some art in there. I mean, what's it matter? They have wrist swivels, and they added antennas on the top of the Sharktacons, which is kind of cool. They're clear, but you can kind of see them. So,
oh, wait, that's based off the Legends figure? I can hardly tell.
It is the Legends figure. It's just knocked off.
That's Deception, then, basically.
Yeah, there's tons of theft. That's why I was like, people were getting upset about the art. I'm like, they're stealing everything else. What's the difference?
Just, I wonder if you'd like to send diecast hate mail over his. If you'd like to send diecast hate mail over his opinions on art theft, you can do that at diecast2@gmail.com.
Or you can do it over or his on Amazon
Twitter.
Echo.
And diecast2 on
Twitter.
Tell
your Echo send diecast hate mail. I wonder if
mail bomb him.
No theft is funny. I'm just in, you know, in a
back
way it's
a little hard diecast.
Yeah, we're gonna anybody else get anything?
Talk about Siege on Cybertron, since most of us have at least some of it.
Y'all do that, then I'll go.
That pounce is pretty awesome, isn't it?
It's like a refined Battle Ravage. It's not a knock against it at all, because like Battle Ravage was a pretty solid figure for the time it was made, and this just kind of, distills it down into what actually worked from it and gets rid of everything else. And I can also, I can see on it, like, on the forearms, there's the little lead holes here. You can see where, like, that's there for Wingspan to have, because, Matt, you've got Wingspan, right? Because you got that C-pack.
He's magnificent.
And that's where the bird feet attach, isn't it? Like, they hinge on the forearms?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool seeing how each set of these clones has the hardware in place for the other clone, just independently.
So is that like if one needs to give, like, a transplant to the other, they can do it?
Yeah, because they've got the same blood type.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm a little bit afraid of Metal Hawk.
He's pretty, though.
Oh, it is super pretty, but all these gold plastic parts are super tight fitting, and they're gold. Yeah, I have worries. I have worries. The head, though, I think is just painted gold on the face, so that probably won't shatter with time, hopefully.
Is it as good a paint match as it looks from here?
Yes. The gold paint is a little bit more rich, I'm going to say, but just slightly.
It's probably not
terrible on camera, but in person it actually looks just fine.
Well, Chris, I thought the new gold plastics really didn't have that problem anymore. I thought they fixed that.
That was the theory until Universe Micromaster Superion started falling apart.
Okay.
And I've seen more and more that Protoform Starscream from the 2007 movie preview wave is also collapsing now.
So
that was all like a brownish plastic.
Yeah, wow. That Superion is what, like 2004?
I think.
So, man.
Yeah. I don't think they've solved the gold plastic problem. They might have this time. Who can say? We won't really know for a few years.
Do we know from an engineering standpoint what the actual problem with gold plastic syndrome is?
There's been various theories, but I don't know if there's one conclusive answer to it. The most likely seeming thing to me is just that mixing in whatever makes it look actually gold instead of being just mustard.
Yeah.
It weakens the physical structure of the plastic. Another problem could be that the plasticizers don't work as well with whatever they have to put in there to make that color quality. There's a range of things chemically that could be doing this.
Yeah, I hate when the jazzercizers don't work.
Sure. But you know what's a huge disappointment in this set?
Tidal Wave. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it because of the jet mode part of broadside, or is it just because of deco?
It's broadside. I think it's the biggest problem.
It's largely broadside, and it's also largely it's not the Armada toy.
Oh, yeah. Armada toy is wonderful.
It's not even the Armada deco, which like would look probably better on this.
That's more Shockwave deco than it is.
It's going more for the show and the Micron Legend deco. Also, the stickers on this are terrible. The wing stickers have to go over like 3 or 4 raised surfaces, and there's not even an attempt to press them down in there. They're just lightly applied over all those ridges and stuff.
It's almost like a knockoff or a really low end toy that you would find like at Big Lots or something.
The sticker quality is anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, really nice.
We should qualify that because people might hear that and be misled. The plastic quality on this is perfectly fine. You know, it does not feel like a knockoff build or anything, but like the sticker quality, yes, it feels like it came out of an Easter basket.
Yes.
So, you know, it's nice that Hasbro is keeping toy hacks in mind, helping them keep kids, helping them in these troubled economies.
The Thunderwing Titan Master is a little bit better than the Rodimus Prime in that the head can actually turn. The material tolerances are a little bit better than it was on Rodimus. I can move the various parts without feeling like I'm going to break them off.
The paint looks a little bit better, too.
I didn't really have a huge paint problem on my Rodimus Prime. That's kind of a luck of the draw thing, but the paint is pretty nice on here. Something about it, though, it kind of looks like he has a lazy eye. I don't know if that's just the way the light's hitting it right now.
I don't see that with mine. But the paint,
I think the paint application's a little bit uneven.
The paint on Rodimus Prime, to me, seemed a little thick.
It probably was because they were covering the face with a light color.
Yeah, but Thunderwing is much better.
Yeah.
So, Super Genrai is... he's different, but it's not like substantially different.
Just little bits of the deco. The biggest difference is the change from the white pelvis to blue.
Yeah.
Kind of like regular RID Magnus to Sam's Club Magnus, just a couple of shading changes, maybe that's about it.
Well, on the Titan Master, it's a completely different deco too, because it's not trying to be, you know, Jinrai anymore.
Okay.
It's not trying to be, I'm Optimus Prime and I'm Japanese.
Yeah. Somebody told me they thought the silver plastic on Magnus Prime seemed a little bit more silver than Jinrai's.
I mean, I didn't get that sense with the two side by side.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm looking at both right now.
I imagine it's probably not because it seemed like it was a pretty good match for the silver gray on God Bomber.
And like looking back at my photos, I can see where the reds are slightly different between Super Jinrai and Magnus Prime, but not in a way you would tell unless you have them side by side under good lighting. Mm. But the grays and silvers don't really, I'm not picking out a difference with those.
Mm. Yeah. Anybody else? Anything?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you go first, Don. Sorry.
No, Rob, you go ahead. You go ahead.
You sure?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I got, first off, I got SDCC Primitive Skateboarding Optimus Prime.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Oh, it is. I am really happy with that. The new parts are substantial, and they're also versatile. The fact that you can turn them into a gun, you can turn them into a skate park, you can get imaginative and put them together 2 or 3 other different ways. It's, for the fact that it's $5 above retail, the new parts alone, let alone the deco, let alone everything else, are simply amazing. It's a great toy, and I'm really glad I have it.
Too bad they didn't make enough of them.
Yeah. On the other hand, I also got SDCC Voyager Optimus Prime, and that
I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know. Before I start,
it's amazing that that's at the same price point, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, before I start criticizing it heavily, many thanks again to Hasbro for providing us at T-Formers with these samples for review. But it's actually, if this were like $25, it would be a fine toy.
Or 30, maybe 30?
Even 30, yeah. Because it's, I mean, the retail release never should have been 30, but this actually looks better than the retail release. I will give it that, because the addition of the like golden, like mustard yellowish paint helps break up some of the big blocks of silver. The more they're like, it's weird. It's all the same colors as the retail release, but in different applications in different places. And there's just something about the new color balance that makes the juxtaposition of the silver paint and the dark gunmetal limbs look much better. I can't even explain why. Now, that's the good points. And I think that is about $30 worth of good points. The problem is, it comes in this big fancy package. There's a nice little slot in the back for a tire chunk and a certificate of authenticity, which are while quantities last, and I did not get one. So that's the entire point of the thing, basically, and it's a crapshoot as to whether anybody actually gets it when they order it.
That is terrible.
On that top of really which...
Bad. That's going to make people mad.
On top of which... There is no way that I have found to actually open the package without tearing the base of it. That's why they give you that little sleeve that goes over the back end, because the back end of the package, the bubble connects like a blister pack connects glued down. So if you're careful with everything else, if you are a freaking surgeon with a razor knife, you can fix everything else, but where that tears in the back when you open it, that nice little slip cover will cover. I cannot possibly in good conscience recommend this for $50. If it goes on sale for $30 or $25 at Hasbro Toy Shop in like 6 months, and by God, it should.
Or their eBay store, at least. That's usually where that happens.
Or their eBay store. At that point, it is absolutely visually superior to the regular Premier Voyager release. And since Takara is not doing a version that is specifically Optimus Prime, it's probably the best I mean, they're doing the US release, as far as I know, with no changes. So this is probably the best looking version of this mold that's coming out that is not Nemesis Prime. So, you know, get that one. And I got two more things. Just since I'm winding that up, I thought I ought to interject. I did get, thanks to XV, Magnus Prime. And I like him. I like the look of him. Just now that I have both the Power Master and the Jinrai versions of this mold, I can say that every change made to this for Super Jinrai made it possibly better looking visually, but also less stable in every way.
Yep. I agree with that.
The new feet may, on mine, the heel spurs are a little bit loose. I don't know that they hold a lot of weight, whereas, you know, you're limited to how many poses actually look good with Power Master Prime, but he will stand up once he's standing. The one downside, of course, that is not, you know, that you cannot get around with Power Master Prime is the hands. I do like the new hands on Magnus Prime, but the sacrifice for that is an addition of extra flaps to make the top of the trailer. And one of the things I marveled at with the Power Master Prime version of this mold, and thus Primitive Prime, is how stable a trailer made of four chunks actually is. And Magnus Prime is not that. But, you know, like I said, it looks good. It looks more like what I'd want a Power Master Prime toy to probably look like. But there's just something about the stability of the Hasbro one that I'm really happy I have both versions of this mold. Since I have the Primitive Prime too, I'm thinking if I ever get a hold of that Perfect Effect cab, I'm going to put it on the Titans Return Prime. So I have like three different versions. But another thing I got, a friend of my brother's, I lucked out. He was looking to unload a God Bomber. So
who isn't?
Yeah, well, aww. You know, well, having handled it, you know, the nickname I was thinking of was there is no God Bomber, but it does not have a stable mode. It does not have, it has like three modes.
It had one stable mode in my experience, which was packaged.
Ah, yes. Well, yeah, I haven't tried the base mode yet, but I expect things to fall off of that too. But just. It is the most Takara thing I have ever handled, and, you know, God Jinrai does look really neat, but just everything that could have gone wrong with that went wrong. You cannot keep it together as a robot. You cannot keep it together as a mini trailer truck thingy. The sword levers itself apart.
That's so terrible.
It cannot hold together. It's just, I'm glad I got it for relatively cheap. It cost me about $55, and it's at that price, I'm happy to have it so I can have a God Jinrai, but at that price, it's less frustrating, more hilarious, everything that is wrong with it, because there's just, I don't think I've ever handled a toy.
It's not a good toy.
No, it's not. I've never handled a toy with that many problems and that many uniquely Takara problems all in one place. It's absolutely staggering. And that is what I got this week.
Nice, Don. Yeah, you.
Yeah, no way I can top that, obviously. I got, again, thanks to Chris and Rob and everybody on Twitter that gave me a heads up, I was able to get a Primitive Prime.
All right.
So I'm looking forward to opening him up.
Go FedEx yourself.
I also found, as reported on T-Formers, the Dark of the Moon Reveal Your Shield of Voyager Class Optimus.
What the heck is that?
Yeah, that's the one that was the Target exclusive that became Toys R Us that comes with the G1 style decoder sword and shield that lets you decode information off of the Optimus Prime toy. It's just a weird little. It's exclusive. It's just an odd little prime, and I thought I liked the sword and the shield, so I figured I'd pick it up. And besides, these exclusives will either be around forever, or you'll see them one time and vanish. So there's that.
The Dark of the Moon Optimus Voyager is not bad. It certainly looks small compared to the one we're getting with this movie.
Yeah, it does. But I mean, it's interesting enough to be again. They've gotten so many different primes out of this one basic style of movie Optimus. And it visually, with the sword and the shield, it at least looks different enough to stand out on the shelf. So he's not lost in the sea of his movie brethren. But the big thing I got, which came today, courtesy of Ages 3 and up, TFCon Terra Genesis Rally.
Nice.
Which is, I decided to go ahead, because I missed Road Crane last year, because I wasn't just super huge on that backdraft Inferno mold, but this right here in the Diaclone colors, this is their Terra Genesis, their Trailbreaker.
There is no N in that, Don.
I'm sorry, I've been mispronouncing it. Then I apologize.
That's never happened before.
Yeah,
no, never.
But I like the colors. I like the design. Ocular Max again, Brian. You and I have Sphinx, and we think Sphinx is a really good toy. So we know the quality's there anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely looking forward to opening him as well. And that's really all I got, other than some non-Transformer stuff.
So I'm going to mention this non-Transformers thing. I'm still in the middle of unpacking and organizing my toys. And I opened up stuff that I've had carded since 2003 just because I wanted to expand my Joe set. So, it's like I opened up about 35 or 40 carded Joes over the weekend.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I can hear the MOC Joe fans screaming right now.
So, you know, it wasn't a big deal except for two of them that I opened, Lifeline and, I think the other was probably Sci-Fi. But Lifeline I've seen sell for as much as $80 carded. And I'm like, do I do this? Yes, I did. So. Yeah.
So I'll wrap us up with some comments on the Revolution set, which I have.
Okay.
I talked about Jetfire a couple weeks ago, so I'm mostly going to talk about the other figures that came with it. So the best thing in the set is Roadblock by far.
Hmm.
From what I've been able to figure out, this is the G.I. Joe Retaliation Ultimate Roadblock body with a few new parts on it. It's super nice. Comes with a ton of accessories. It has probably more accessories by itself than every other figure combined. A little bit less nice is Matt Tracker. This is not the Specialist Tracker figure. It's almost entirely different. It has the same armor piece and helmet and the MP5 style rifle, but otherwise it's a different figure. It's okay. It's one of the few that can actually stand up by itself effectively without its base plate. Also, a note on the base plates, everybody's apparently Cobra except for Roadblock, because they all have Cobra logo base plates.
So what is it that makes That's Roadblock weird. So great?
Just a really solid base figure. The posability works really well. It can stand on its own. It has a lot of parts. Everything works well together with it. It's also like the biggest and most substantial feeling. Gotcha. Really good colors and deco on it. I'm just like overall really pleased with the feel of it. You know, as someone who doesn't really like G.I. Joe figures that much because they don't have articulation in certain places that I've come to expect from other lines, like any kind of swivel joint in the legs.
Gotcha.
ROM's pretty okay too. This is more a case of it's not super visually interesting just because it's all silver like it's supposed to be. The upper body has a nice smooth, like, mid-torso swivel, which probably works the best out of any of these. But the blocky torso also kind of keeps the arms pushed out toward the side a little bit. I really like the head sculpt on it, though. It's really cool looking.
Is he entirely new, or is there something that he's based on?
The arms very possibly could have been from something else, but they're so generic looking, I don't know how you would track down what specifically.
I bet Yojo.com could.
Probably, I looked, JoJo.com does not seem to have entries up for the figures in this set gotcha. Yet, probably still a little bit too new. I would be surprised if these legs are not all new, though, because they have, like, really specific kind of detailing probably on them, which are. Is not in focus at all. Yeah, I would say ROM and probably, wherever it went over here, Action Man are probably the ones with the most new parts on them. And Action Man's pretty good, too. I have discovered, though, that without the base plate, it basically will just tip backward because the ankle joints cannot go far enough forward for a level stance. So that's a bit of a flaw. And then the Dire Wraith, which I think I have over here. The Dire Wraith is kind of funny because it's the Zombie Viper arms.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mail-Away Doc from 2008,
oh, God,
I
it
think,
is.
Body. Which is a really nice body. You know, it's actually it's so much that Doc body you could kind of pretend this was a Dire Wraith masquerading as Doc, based on the IDW appearances. So I think the only thing on here that's actually new is probably the head sculpt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is,
but this is another one that turned out pretty nice.
On the Zombie Viper, I don't even use those arms. I don't like him. I just use the hands.
There's no option on the Dire Wraith. That's all it comes with.
That sucks. Yeah.
What are you going to do? Yeah. You know? Again, I think a lot of the accessory allotment ended up going into Roadblock, which I don't think is a terrible thing because it just makes an already pretty solid figure just feel that much more complete.
Very cool.
And then, of course, there's Lyric. I don't like him.
Aww. The lack of the hologram?
Although it's got kind of hologram. It does the color change as you change the angle.
So yeah. Is it lenticular?
No, it's not. It's
prismatic,
not.
I think.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, do you think that's the like what did they call it? Like hot holofoil or whatever they were talking about for Power of the Primes? Does it look like that's probably what that's going to be like?
It's very possible. That would require an understanding of the definition they're using of hot holofoil when they say that.
Yeah.
Because they have a way of making up words.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I may have the name wrong anyway, so.
Yeah. But at least yours.
It's something like that, though, because I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But at least yours has all the right paint applications, because mine is missing a major paint
application. It has all the right paint applications, but it also has about half of its joints unwilling to move.
Yeah, so.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, you are missing a little chunk there, aren't you?
Yeah, right on the front, and you can't do anything about it.
Oops. But yeah, one of the knee joints won't work. One of the elbows does not want to move well. It was actually, like, locked in position fully straight out. The edge of the elbow hinge was out over the forearm. So I had to force that past just to get to bend in the first place, and now it doesn't want to unbend.
So the Hasbro QC is strong with this set.
Mm.
Well, you know, producing this many figures at once for one box set, you know, you kind of have to expect they probably were in a little bit of a rush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have an issue.
Lyric has to be a lot of new parts, too. So, you know, that's probably a problem also.
Yeah.
Oh, well, again, also.
Diecast, yes. You're trying to talk. What were you saying?
I was going to say, I recently have had a problem with QC with, I maybe just had a string of bad luck, but...
But you got it on Taobao, so...
But they're legitimate products. It's not like Taobao is an illegal...
No, I'm not saying it's illegal. I'm just saying it's probably thrown in the dumpster.
Yeah, factory rejects.
No, you know, I mean, there's stores on there that are legitimate stores that only sell Hasbro stuff.
So what was it? What was the QC issue?
Well, with the Masterpiece figures, they're not doing the additional plastic to cover the figure in the box like they did Masterpiece Movie Prime, which I just did a review on. You can see in my review that they don't have it, and they're making the boxes so small that the figures are actually rubbing the paint off on the box in just normal transportation. They did it with MP10 for the new Toys R Us re-release. They've done it for, I can't remember if Bumblebee was that way, the movie Bumblebee, but the movie Optimus Prime was that way also. So their packaging is getting worse, especially for Masterpiece figures. And I like my Bumblebee was missing a screw in his head, so his head fell apart when you tried to put the face shield down. And there's just been other issues, like the MP10 I got with the first one was missing a mirror. The second one, the smokestack was broken off in the box because it was basically right against the side of the box, and the box got crushed a little bit and the figure broke inside the box, which is another packaging issue, which I have with them recently.
Okay. Yeah, that sucks. Let's bring that up.
I would say the stuff in this box set that uses existing parts predominantly is pretty good. It feels good in hand, and, like the quality level feels a little bit higher. The stuff that's a lot of new parts, like Lyric, Action Man, those seem a little bit rougher. So I think the problem was in developing the new parts for some of these figures more than a systemic quality control problem.
Cool. Hey Don, were you going to say something before I interrupted?
Oh no, I was just going to say it's just a shame that the diecast was saying about the QC and stuff, because. You know, it's because, like I said, mine's missing that entire paint application on the front, and that's not something you can't turn the leg and hide it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of sad that we're seeing this pop up on expensive sets like, you know, his Prime and everything else.
Yeah.
Hey, so, it wasn't in the show notes, but I wanted to talk about it. This Week in History, 2002, the Transformers The Headmasters DVD box set is released in Japan by Pioneer Laserdisc Company. Now, one, Matt got his dub DVD set in the mail today, right?
Yesterday.
Isn't it lovely?
Yes.
So this DVD set does include, if I remember correctly, does include the Headmaster dubs, which is wonderful. But also, this is just a reminder that the podcast that I'm pulling together, What's Happened to the Headmasters, the first episode will drop on September 4th. You've been warned. You can go to iTunes right now and subscribe, or Google Play Music. Please do that. Also, in Dear RFC, a little bit of a cheat here, but our pal the TF Boy sent an email, and I actually covered it on today's, which is episode 3, RFC Daily Transformers News Update, because it was relevant to the news item that I was talking about. So go check that out. It's on your Amazon Echo or on iTunes. Or at tfradio.net. You just go to the top Transformers podcast, select RFC Daily Transformers News Update, and you're there. But let's jump to the big item, because this is interesting. Hascon event admission now discounted as much as 50%. So basically, Hasbro put Hascon admission on Groupon with it's almost 50%.
At least one of the tiers is 50% off.
Yeah, that's...
And then, like, two or three of the other ones are virtually 50% off, like, you know, 46, 48%.
So, the three-day adult admission was $160. It's on Groupon. Is it still on Groupon for $85?
I haven't checked today.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, it is.
It is. Let me see if it is anything changed. changed. No, it's still $85. So that's insane. So I think we've all been worried about how many people would actually show up at HasCon. It's the first one. And maybe there's some presumption on Hasbro's part as to how many people might actually appear for a Hasbro-branded event. Now, DieCast, John and I will be there. John may be there more in an official capacity for his company. But at least DieCast and I will be there goofing off, talking about Transformers. So
we'll be there for Radio Free Cybertron.
We will be. But John has a real job. But that worries me a little bit, and I'm lying.
It gets more interesting too, because I found out later that through some other process, there was a discount code that could be applied then for some of the VIP evening events, which, you know, are purchased separately individually. So you can get those for half off too, but you can't apply that retroactively if you've already purchased your packages.
Yeah, I've already. So DieCast and I are going as media/influencers. Kim will be going. I bought her just general admission, and yeah, I can't do anything about it. So we pay full price.
But like there was another way to get like Hall of Fame dinner, for instance, half price. Versus the normal add-on price for that. But if you already signed up for that, you can't retroactively get that discount applied.
Is that still available?
I don't know.
Where did you find it?
Because yeah, where did you find that?
I'll try to dig that up after the show.
I may actually go ahead and do that. Since that,
because I want to go to that dinner. Definitely.
Half off dinner.
Yeah, I'll try to dig that up later.
Hang out with Marky Mark. There.
Well, that takes us into the next story.
Yeah, so Mark Wahlberg will be looking for Transformers at that's the worst Marky Mark impression ever at HasCon. So Mark Wahlberg,
it's
will
better appear. Than his impression of a Texan.
That is true.
Yeah. Well, isn't Mark Wahlberg from like
Boston?
So you know that's not too far from Rhode Island. I'm sure he can work that out. I just kind of think it's funny because Mark Wahlberg, you know, after the Transformers 5 went on and said he's so glad to be done with Transformers so he can actually cut his hair.
Yeah, well, I mean, this isn't
a haircut. He wants to go to a convention.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Mark Wahlberg will be there. So a lot of, like, Kim is actually excited about like Flo Rida and some people like that. And she jokingly,
don't even know who that is.
He's some sort of rapper. And yeah, she was jokingly excited about Chewbacca Mom. Yeah.
Maybe Kim is the target audience.
She might be. she was very excited about Flo Rida. So, yeah, we'll see.
Flo Rida was popular like 10 years ago. So that's why I don't really understand why he would be a thing at a Hasbro convention.
Well, yeah, I don't either. So we'll find out.
There's a lot about this I don't understand.
So. While I think that is really, while this whole thing is really interesting, to me, the most interesting thing all week, though, was the fact that Make Toys canceled their Galaxy Meteor, not Cybertron Starscream figure. And Twitter went crazy.
Yeah. Well, here you go, third parties, all running back to G1 again.
The Twitter went crazy to the point where Make Toys now says they're going to see what they can do about this.
Yeah. So, I had a couple problems with it. One, I mean, people are saying, well, Make Toys, you need to make your toys. I don't even remember what the hashtag was, but it was hard to say.
Make Toys.
Get made or something.
Get made or something, but yeah.
If anybody, Make Toys is in the best position to describe how they should approach their business. But you had all these people on Twitter who, I guarantee you, everybody who tweeted out that hashtag is not going to buy the toy.
Mm-hmm.
Guarantee it.
Well, so, not everybody, but I'm sure a lot of them will.
So 40 people are going to buy this toy if it comes out.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really nice looking toy.
It is.
It doesn't go with anything. And that's, you know, that's one of the problems with third party getting into things that aren't, you know, masterpiece likes and aren't G1 is that there really isn't a lot out there to display them with. I mean, now that we're getting into Masterpiece Beast Wars, we're starting to see a little bit of third-party Beast Wars in the form of, like, you know, the Transmetal Optimus, two Optimus Prime and Megatron and things like that. But yeah, there's just, where do you put this Starscream? Do you put it with the other Cybertron toys where it doesn't really fit in? Do you put it with the other G1 toys where it doesn't really fit in? It's a really nice looking toy on its own, but if you're organizing a collection by any kind of any kind of parameters I can think of, it goes basically nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, some people will put it next to their Starscreams. Like, some people just have a whole shelf of Starscreams. I don't necessarily think that's the problem as much as it's pretty expensive. It's $140.
So it's $140, and it was already released, sort of, at TF Nation.
They did a limited run to sell at conventions.
Now, our pal Maz had mentioned this on Twitter, and it wasn't clear to what extent this was the case, but his point was that they made some of them, and all he wanted was for them to release and sell the ones that they produced. But at the same time, my question is, if they say they're going to cancel it, they're probably going to make those available somehow. I doubt they're just going to destroy them. So
yeah, I mean, they've already put a lot of development costs, a lot of, you know, the box was fully done, so there was packaging costs. There was, you know, they made samples. People have had these in their hand. So it's that way, it's a little bit confusing. Wouldn't you want to make some money rather than no money or lose money on the figure?
So what we have to step back and look at here is that it's probably not Make Toys themselves canceling this. It is probably one or more retailers backing out on it because they did not get the pre-order action they wanted on it, and they're leaving Make Toys holding the bag, basically.
Yeah, that's...
But Make Toys still needs their business relationship, so they can't come out and say that, you know, this or that retailer backed out of this, or even that any retailers backed out of it. They have to kind of take the fall for this because they need the stores to keep carrying their other stuff that does sell.
That's what we're left to assume.
From my research, and this is, I did some diecast research, and
the use of air quotes around that really Google makes me dubious.
None of the stores
has connections
that I checked actually canceled their pre-orders or stopped taking pre-orders for it. So if you're a conspiracy theorist and you wanted to, Make Toys wanted to get some more support for this
guarantee
figure,
that's not the case.
Maybe they say, hey, we'll say we'll cancel it and people will talk about it and more people will want it, and then we'll be able to produce it and have it available for sale. I it's just something doesn't really make sense that Make Toys says we're not going to make it and no one takes the pre-orders down.
So I think they may be still looking for pre-orders, but they say, hey, we're going to cancel this because, you know, maybe we just didn't get enough pre-orders, so we maybe did a limited run. Like, I've heard people throw out numbers as to, like, what it costs to get a mold cut. I heard somebody, I forgot who it was, suggest that it was an insane amount of money, basically citing...
In the hundreds of thousands.
Yes, citing the Hasbro figure. And I guarantee you there's no way it costs a third party to do that at the same cost that costs Hasbro. There's just no way. It's completely... I just don't see that being possible.
Well, they made the toy already, so the molds have been cut.
Well, the mold... Yeah, exactly. But the mold has been cut. But my point is, how much money did they lose in doing this? Are they potentially going to lose more money in trying to produce more of the toys than they've already lost?
I don't think so. I think the cost comes
What's additive, though? So if they... I mean, they're going to lose more money by virtue of producing more if they don't sell them.
Well, why can't they do a small run of
it? Maybe they already have.
Well, they have to have because TF Nation.
They have samples.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Diecast, like, I'm not saying that your investigation into this with the contacts you have is incorrect, because even after Make Toys made their announcement on Twitter, there were still some of the larger stores that had those pre-orders up. So, like, this was not something that everybody got together and decided on at one time. That's why I'm saying one or more large toy retailers may have backed out on this because they did not get the pre-orders they wanted. We've seen this happen with various products and retailers in the past, where a project gets shut down, even kind of close to release sometimes, because a store decides that they're not getting back out of it what they expected from it, so they're going to cancel entirely.
Now, the kind of the sad thing is I've watched some reviews from people on YouTube about this figure. Mm-hmm. The paint is immaculate. The paint is awesome. The quality of the figure is there. But again, for me, and I'm part of the problem, you know.
I'm part cyber, of the problem.
Thank
you for admitting that, Don. Thank
you. Is the fact that this figure is, I have no interest in the figure.
Me neither.
And the thing of it is, it's because Cybertron is not one of my big things.
I like really Cybertron. I just don't care.
But I don't want this figure. But the problem is, you were saying earlier that there's nothing for it to go with. The sad part is, we keep saying, we as a fandom, in some case, especially a lot of the podcasts everywhere, we want to see more non-G1 stuff. We're seeing more non-G1 stuff, but in this case, it wasn't ordered. But it could have been the start of something new, you know, Cybertron Starscream, Cybertron this. So I'm just saying, it could have been the start of that something else we've been looking for. It just, for some people, it didn't mean enough to want this figure. And I'm sorry, I mentioned on one of the reviewers' comments, I love this figure's quality, and I love the paint. But this design holds no depth, no meaning, no nothing for me. And I wish this had been some other figure, not G1. I mean, heck, I'm a big RRD 1.0. If this had been Speedbreaker, Sideburn, I'm just saying anybody
third-party Sideburn, that would be a disaster.
Don, after you.
No, but I'm just saying we need to keep in mind whatever the reasons this is being canceled, delayed, postponed, whatever. If we as a fandom keep saying, we want you to start doing non-G1 stuff, and then nobody buys it.
You vote for your wallet.
And we don't get the non-G1 stuff that we keep asking for. How are they supposed to read our minds and make the exact thing we're thinking of?
Yeah.
Maybe they should make something people are asking for. Like, what is that animated? Animated, what's the one everyone asks
Omega
for?
Supreme.
Omega Supreme.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people would buy that?
Yeah, that's
fewer than you would probably think.
Paladin, he would buy it, and that's about the end of it.
Lots of people were asking for it. How many would actually buy it?
But okay, lots of people were asking for it how many years ago?
Yeah.
That's a qualifier you got to think, too.
Nine.
I'm just going to finish by saying everyone needs to stop blaming Make Toys for this.
I don't think anybody is.
Some people are.
Yeah. And the fact that, I'm trying to phrase this without sounding like a jerk.
You are.
In the fact that we want more non-G1 stuff, and they offered it, and we didn't buy it, okay? So we have to make sure what we are actually willing to spend money on is made clear and concise, so the information is addressed properly. Otherwise, this is going to keep popping up. And we're going to have companies that get into dire straits because they're trying to make what we want, but then nobody buys it. So just keep that in mind when you say you want something, back it up with your wallet. You know,
you've been saying you want it. Buy the figure.
And this is something.
Rob, you go ahead.
Yeah, this is something. This is something I've been thinking about since I saw this start happening. Is that, yes, we want things that are not G1, but this is basically, it's a really nice design. It's possibly one of the nicest figure designs in Cybertron, but it's one of the nicest figure designs from a series nobody really cares about now. Not a lot of people, I think, cared about that much at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, think maybe if this was a little bit like more towards the anniversary when this would have been...
No.
Nobody cares.
You know, okay.
So 1.0. And go ahead.
Hold on, Brian. And now that, you know, with this little scare, you may have been asking for, you know, third-party toys that aren't G1 based, but after this, a lot of companies are going to be watching this, and they're going to run back to their comfort zone, which is G1 and G1 related stuff. And you can expect more Predacons, more Dinobots, more Combaticons, and more Springers. So enjoy.
Very possibly. I've been holding off on this for like since before you started talking, Don, but the first time. Sorry. So the thing here that I think is interesting that nobody has said yet, it is of note to me that Make Toys has the option to cancel. They've already invested the money. They've already cut the mold. They've already produced a limited run. They are not in fear of losing money or going bankrupt. So they are in a healthy enough spot to where they can cancel this toy. That's interesting. So I don't know how many other third-party companies could do that.
Are you sure about that, though? Because, like, there's no proof of that. Like, they are not saying, you know, this is going to destroy us because that's bad for business. But they probably, if they don't have a choice in canceling this, like, you know, if their major retail partners are not going to play ball anymore and they don't have enough retail support from the other ones to still make this work, they're kind of just stuck until they can come up with another option.
Well, I mean, so
this is kind of similar to what happened to Fans Project with their Pretender shells for Source for UO.
But so Fans Project,
they overextended themselves on a project that they overestimated interest in.
But we haven't.
Underestimated costs.
Yeah. So, but with this, unlike Fans Project, Make Toys hasn't stopped seemingly yet producing things. So
it's only been 2 days.
Yeah, but they potentially like, this is one of the things we won't know until they release their next few toys. But
Make Toys is a bigger third party company. They probably can absorb this. I'm just saying, like, we can't assume that what you're saying is correct just because it's not something they're going to immediately broadcast. That well, we're canceling this and we're shutting the doors tomorrow. No,
but the thing is, by the virtue that they can and said that they would cancel it, means they can. Because if they couldn't, they wouldn't say a thing, or they would just disappear. Just like other third-party companies have. I don't, yeah.
Diecast. I'm going to just speak up on the side of this, which is that I was skeptical about this giant Cybertron Starscream originally, but having watched some videos of it and then seen some pictures, like there's a picture I saw where it basically stands equal head height with Cybertron Megatron, like all that, I'm sold on it now. I would totally get one of these if it was possible to get one. I love that design. I'm not a huge fan of the show, but like, I love the design. For me, it can fit in scale-wise. Like, a Starscream equal in height with Megatron kind of works for me in my head. You know, it's a cool-looking figure. I've always wanted a really, really good take on this design. The Cybertron toys are great for, like, the gimmick platform appeal. I like that about them. But, like, for superposable, really detailed, you know, this is kind of scratching some itches that I've had for a long time, and I'm kind of sad that it's not out there anymore.
So the thing is, one thing I was curious about, though, is when this is knocked off and sells for $60, how well will it sell?
Yeah, and there's already been talk of that somebody maybe has or is in the process of knocking it off already.
Yeah,
pretty good, because I think one of the main problems with this originally was the price. I think $140 scares a lot of people away.
So, like, in terms of business, there's an idea of, like, a triple constraint. You have you have time, scope, and cost. And any toy has basically the same variables. If you drop the cost low enough, unless it's, like, I don't know, Cybertron or Energon Blur or something or whatever it is, somebody will buy it. So, if the cost is low enough, if it were a dollar, everybody would buy it. So, I mean, there comes a point.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Exactly. So moving along, next item here.
Maybe we should have had that be the big item for this week.
Well, that's, yeah, but
I think it kind of was.
Can you go back and fix that in editing?
I should. Transformers Universe Bumblebee begins filming near San Rafael. So apparently, from what I hear, John Cena looks bigger than ever. So maybe he's just going to be Bumblebee.
I think that's just because he's standing next to normal people.
Possibly.
Maybe he's the villain.
It's possible. He could be, who would he be? The mechanic?
Well, since they keep comparing this to Robot Iron Master. Giant, I guess he'd be the
Robot Master, Federal. Yeah.
He'd be the robot master. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, I was just saying, since they keep comparing this to Iron Giant, I guess he'd be the federal agent.
I've never watched Iron Giant, so I don't get it.
It's been a long time, but I may be misremembering
it. John Cena will be Circuit Breaker.
Oh, God, that would be great.
That actually would be Circuit Smasher at that point.
And Marvel
it would be Circuit Breaker because of misunderstanding of the source material. This is a Transformers movie, after all.
Yeah, that's very true.
So, interestingly enough, from the set, we see photos of yellow Volkswagen prop cars. So that's something. I didn't figure that we would see that. And there it is.
And now we see two of them.
And now we see two of them. Now you know.
And no one is half the battle. Yeah.
Let's see here. Brighton Falls film calls for actors and shooting locations throughout September. If you're interested, go to tformers.com and maybe you can answer the call and be in the movie.
If you there you go, California. Diecast.
I did always want to be in a Transformers movie. That's like the
okay,
one.
Well, go hang out in California for a few months.
So to me, the coolest item of the week, though, in Entertainment Earth has...
I thought you'd like this.
Yeah, Entertainment Earth has a listing of Kid Robot's upcoming series of Transformers versus G.I. Joe minifigures. 24 for $240. Time to get a paper route.
Well, they'll be cheaper when you can buy them individually, right?
Yeah. I can't wait. They should just go back and Power of the Prime should just be based off of Transformers versus G.I. Joe.
No, that should be what the Bumblebee movie is.
Oh, I would watch that.
And they need to come up with some kind of like filter for the post processing to make it look like the quality of the art.
What we need is Transformers versus G.I. Joe, the movie. Make a movie adaptation of Transformers.
The comic adaptation of the movie.
Yes. Yeah. I would totally watch that. So that's cool. Included ours.
I think we need to throw a novelization in there at some step. Like we need to add more to this.
Included Scarlet, Optimus Prime Recolor, Wheeljack, Starscream, Bumblebee, Megatron, Destro, Cobra Commander, Baroness, General Flag, Grimlock, G2 Grimlock, Bazooka, Serpentress, which I forgot about, Shockwave, Snake Eyes, and Soundwave. They'll be out in November.
This is so weird.
It is so freaking weird.
It is.
Okay, so Perfect Effect. God, we have been talking about a lot of the Perfect Effect stuff over the last couple months.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when they're one of the few third parties who is actually like doing stuff at the moment.
So what's up with that? I mean,
I don't know.
Has the bubble burst? We asked that on the recent RSC minicast.
No, I think it's just the fact that
it's seasonal.
Well, I think it's the fact that there's so many companies like Takara and Hasbro are putting out so much product that either is lacking certain things or needs fixes because of these QC issues that we keep seeing pop up, or they're incomplete figures in some cases.
Okay,
so
I don't exactly understand, Don. What do you mean? Can you restate that?
Well, it's like God Bomber needed, you know, they came out with some support parts for God Bomber. They came out with filler pieces for
Optimus
Prime.
Upgrade stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no Genrai that comes with any of these Optimus Primes. There's no Genrai.
But this
another possibility with the other third party companies maybe being a little bit quiet is that a lot of them are focused on combiners right now, which kind of, you know, takes all of their time and energy. So when they show all the prototypes off at once, there's not really a whole lot of new news except for, you know, maybe some color photos come out in a few months, et cetera. Yeah. Like, it's not going to be really until they end those combiner projects that they start doing more new stuff. And there's probably also a lot of them that are tied up in their Springers right now, too.
Yeah. So in this case, it isn't an upgrade kit. It's their Guerrera. And I hate that name, honestly. The Guerrera Prime Redeco. And I don't even think that's meant as a joke. Like, if that were created here, I would say it was a joke, but I don't think it is. Basically, their Primal Prime Redeco of their Optimal Optimus figure. And,
well,
I just don't know, again, that toy needs a redo, because the old one's actually kind of okay.
Yeah. Well, it's also, what's that toy running? Because the last time I looked... No, this one's $190. This one's $190.
No, I thought you meant Primal Prime because I actually looked it up.
Yeah, no, that's what I meant.
I looked it up because I couldn't remember how much it was going for, so I looked it up this week. It was like $190 box.
In box, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this one was what, about running about what, 130 to 150, if he's running the same price as the
I get why you do that when you make the comparison to the two, but if I wanted Primal Prime, I would buy Primal Prime. Like whether I had it or not. Like, I don't view these toys as a stand-in for a toy that I can't afford. I view them as something separate. That's me.
Yeah, but I mean, you have to admit they're like, you probably have a little bit uncommon view among people who have bought third-party toys.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I guess so. But to me, like I have Optimus Primal, the Beast Wars toy, and it's perfectly fine, but I also have the Masterpiece toy because I wanted the Masterpiece version of it, not because I wanted the smaller version of it. So for me, like, it's something else. It's an addition to instead of a replacement of.
No, I can see that, Brian. It's just, you know, like we were saying earlier, before we found, you know, when Carnifex came out, you know, if you compare Carnifex to the original G1 Overlord, if you want an Overlord in your collection, whether it's more Master Force or more IDW, that was still cheaper than getting an actual G1 Overlord by several hundred dollars. So it just depends on how you view your masterpiece, your third party masterpieces.
Yep. Hey, so this reminds me of something. So I was talking to Triplett at work yesterday.
Was this before or after he was carded?
This was before he was carded.
Okay, I just wanted to get that back in the show.
And I mentioned how I have Legends Black Convoy on the way. And his question was, why wasn't Voyager Megatron repainted into G2 Megatron?
Which probably would have been for a box set.
I know, yeah, yep. which I thought it was a phenomenal question. And then, who was it? It was Scaleface, actually, I think on Twitter, had mentioned that if it could be released as Beast Wars 2nd Megastorm, but I would want Titan's Return Trypticon retooled into Beast Wars 2nd Gigastorm. And you can get Titan's Return Trypticon on Amazon at tfradio.net/Titan Eater for $149 shipped with free Prime shipping. It's pretty cool. And if a third party ever comes out with a horn that you can just stick on his head to turn it into Gigastorm, you're set already.
There's a little bit more that's different between Trypticon and Gigastorm than that.
There's a little, but it's not much.
No, there's part of me that would still like to see this, because we were talking about this a long, long time ago, that if, you know, recolor options and stuff, and I came up with the idea of having him in Dinobot colors and be like the Dinobot base on Dinobot Island. I still kind of would like to see this. And they could call him Grimstone, since they've already got the name.
And for $149 at tfradio.net/Titan Eater, you can get a second one and just repaint it yourself. Mm. It's so affordable.
I failed shop class in high school. You don't want me around paint equipment.
But
and
how
power
did you?
Tools.
How did you in art class, Don?
A C minus.
That's good enough. I bet you'd be fine.
No, it wasn't. No, it
was. And The Last Knight's also again on Blu-ray, pre-order at tfradio.net/Last Hope.
But why would you?
Hey, a lot of people liked the movies.
I liked that movie. It was very. I liked all the movies.
I thought it was the best one.
Michael Bay Transformers movie. It was good.
I think it was the best one. There are parts of it I genuinely liked.
Yes, grading on a most definite curve, I think it is an okay movie. Well, it's like I said on Twitter, like after this Galaxy Meteor thing came up, it's kind of like the Transformers Cybertron of the live action movies. It's somewhat better than what came immediately before it. It's just that what came before it was so bad that nobody cares anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of weird, you know, like the first 20 minutes with that young actress, Miss Monet, I believe, that was some of the best acting in the movie, was that first like 20 minutes.
When Canopy died, that was the best acting when he threw up that green stuff. That was pretty awesome. I kind of hate that Canopy died because I feel like I would have liked him. Mm. He seemed like a nice guy. I want to know more about his backstory. Of course, he has the lamest transformation ever. Mm. Okay. Hey, Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, a whole bunch of stuff. We've got a custom Combiner Wars / Unite Warriors Lyokaiser, which actually reinstates the thing being 6 members instead of 5, and it looks pretty great.
The customizer even made Death Cobra
mm-hmm.
as an option limb.
Yeah, so it's awesome. Really impressive. It is a nice piece. Besides that, we have got Well, I did two comic reviews this week, First Strike number 2 and ROM versus Transformers number 2, and they're both pretty good. They're both worth checking out, and they should be in stores now. And then we've got three photo galleries for SDCC 2017 things. XV has a gallery of the Revolution box set, which he just posted. I posted Primitive Skateboarding Optimus Prime yesterday, and last night Premiere Voyager Optimus Prime today. So a lot of good photos there, and thanks again to XV for helping me with my photo processing. I think it's definitely some of the better looking stuff I've done, especially lately.
Cool. Awesome. Hey, Don, what's on the network this week?
On the network this week, we have, as the page loads.
Well, let me cover you while the page loads, Don, and say also be sure to look at XV's Revolution Gallery, because he has done some really amazing work lately, and he's working on the black background with that, which looks just gorgeous.
Thank you.
Yeah. On the network this week, Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek, Move Along Home. Deep Space Nine Season 1 rolls for initiative, but ends up with the dullest D&D campaign ever with Quark as the DM. Meanwhile, Odo is pretty sure the new Starfleet officer just isn't going to work out. All that on Move Along Home this week on that one episode of Star Trek. Being Awesome episode 116, If This Be Air and Upon Me Prode.
I don't get it.
Me neither. I'm glad it's not just me. This week in Awesome, Rob looks back at a childhood bully who had a weird fascination with Iron Maidens. Can I play with Madness before playing with Madness himself and taking a double shot of the Q&A pool liquid? Anyone else feel dizzy?
I need to edit these more sometimes.
or run it through.
Only Rob Springer knows the workings of Rob Springer's mind.
I know.
Yes. Maybe Babblefish would help.
I think he probably ran it through that before he sent it to me.
RPG Lessons Learned, Episode 16, Lessons from the Shadow of the Cabal. On this special episode, Dusty, Brian, and Mike are joined by Tanner from the Shadow of the Cabal podcast, who shares some of the lessons he's learned from his play on Legend of the Five Rings. Does that guest star the Mandarin? No, he had 10 rings, sorry.
Yeah, best of how.
Yeah, true. Best of How Was Your Weekend Road Trips. With Wendy in the middle of her move, we're doing a best of this week. In this classic episode,
classic,
Wendy and Brian,
like 2 months ago, but yeah.
Wendy and Brian discuss Brian's weekend road trip to Ohio, some favorite road trip memories, and road trip horror stories. Also, they share some of their favorite road trip essentials, including Tunes and Munchies.
Don, I don't think that Motel 6 was in there, but it should have been.
I was going to ask if that was in there.
Kim cried herself to sleep. Oh, she did.
Kim, I feel like I was responsible for that, so I will apologize
It didn't help when I pulled up on Google Maps and showed her like an overlay that had all of the sex offenders in the area. So
I don't remember that. I think I blocked that out.
You
There Goes
in
My
bed
Money,
with
episode 28, Overlorded. On There Goes My Money, guess what went up for pre-order after Takara Tomy's Overlord? If you guessed Hasbro's Overlord, well, yeah, that's it, actually. Diecast, what have you got for RFC reviews coming up?
We got MPM-04 Masterpiece Movie Optimus Prime.
Cool.
And that's where you can see my rant on their new packaging strategy that drives me nuts.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Remember, you can
Did you tick anybody off like that time you crumpled up the instructions and threw them away?
No one's yelled at me yet.
Damn.
Yeah. No. Remember, you can find this episode at tfradio.net/533 to view the show notes. Don't forget our voicemail line, that 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. You know, funny enough, this week we only got one voicemail, and I was actually going to play it, but the sound, it broke up like really bad in the call, and I couldn't quite make everything out. But I remember what I could get out of it was that the our listener was in Baltimore. And wanted to know if any of us lived in Baltimore, and only one of us. We have one person, Rob. Rob is there. Yeah. But he also wanted to know if any of us had any, if I understood it correctly, again, it broke up, if any, we had any combiner wars that we wanted to get rid of. And I'm like, I never. But funny enough, Don, I know I keep saying this, but I swear we are going to do It's a Don deal this year. We just have to find the day. Mm-hmm. And people out there, once we have that, can call in and let us know if they have any combiner wards they want to get rid of so that our friend in Baltimore can pick one up or pick it up. So,
well, that's the whole point of the show is we're going to try to connect fans to fans who wouldn't normally be able to get in touch with each other to help, you know, help the collectors out.
So what do you want to say, Don? How about after HasCon, like in, say, mid-September, we try to start that?
Maybe you should push it back to after TFCon.
Oh, I forgot all about TFCon. Okay, after TFCon.
Yeah. Yeah, probably so.
And then, you want to wait till after Thanksgiving at that
and
point.
And after Christmas.
Yeah, so after New York Toy Fair. Yeah.
After the next eclipse.
And then, you probably want to wait till the next fiscal year.
We'll play it by ear. I'll talk with my executive producer, Massey. What we'll discuss it, and then we'll get back with you.
Yes, and you can follow me on Twitter at TF, at B. Kilby. You can follow us on Twitter at TF Radio. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio and on Instagram at TF Podcast. Now, I have not been posting as much stuff to Instagram as of late, but I will be posting. God, I have to be done with this crap in my office here in the next couple days. I'm gonna have four people in here recording on Saturday, so it's gonna have to be done before that. So I'll post some of those photos on our Instagram account.
Or if you don't manage to get it all done, post some photos of you shoveling stuff into garbage bags to get out of the way over the weekend.
That's true. That's a good idea, too. Diecast, how do people get a hold of you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2, on YouTube at RFC Reviews, and on Facebook, like my page at Reviews by Diecast.
Cool. Chris, at ChrisRTHV.
Yeah, I'm around.
Yes. Matt?
I'll never tell.
At MELLLVARR, 3 L's, 2 R's, Don.
I can reach on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EVR.
John.
Yo, I'm that John D everywhere.
Everywhere. And Rob.
I am on Twitter at Figure Reviewers and at Flailthroughs. And of course, the video reviews XV and I do are on YouTube, T-Formers TV. I am on YouTube at Flailthroughs, and as promised last week, the new series, Gundam Breaker 3, has started.
Awesome.
Nice.
Again, we'll be at, half of us will be at HasCon. We hope to see you there. 4/5 of us will be at TFCon USA. We hope to see you there. And don't forget the RFC Daily Transformers News on your Amazon Echo. Add it to your daily briefing. Just go to your Alexa app. And God, I said it. Oh, she didn't hear it. Good. And just search for Radio Free Cybertron in the store. Add it. It's free. And you will get an update from me every day with Transformers News and also the Happy Daily, which I'm actually having way more fun doing that on a daily basis than I thought. I've actually done more podcasts this week than I've done for that show in the last year. And
I feel so sorry for your wife.
I made her listen to the episode from last night, and she laughed because she thought it was actually funny. And she gave me a great idea for tomorrow's episode. So, yeah, I can't wait.
Hey, Brian, I got one thing. Yes. This isn't in the show notes, but today I'm going to make this announcement on RFC to give our live listeners a heads up first, and I'm going to post it on Twitter when the show's over. I did find an Octane and a Blitzwing today at Toys R Us. If anybody needs... I'm not giving it away, but I'm just trying to help some other fans out. So if anyone does need to obtain, you know, no Dynamics involved, just trying to help some folks out, because I know this is the first two that I've seen since I picked up mine in, like, March. So I'm just saying, if anyone needs Octane or Blitzwing, you know, contact me on Twitter. We can go from there. I'm just trying to help some fans out. So
okay.
Just putting it out there for y'all.
Cool. Awesome.
If they're still there.
If they're still there. So we'll be back.
I bought them. I've already bought them in advance of somebody needing them because I didn't want them getting away.
Hopefully.
But remember, if you're listening to this 5 years from now, Don does not still have them.
Yeah.
Or maybe he does.
Hopefully not.
You never know. Yeah, no, if you're listening to this in 2022, definitely get in touch with Don and find out if he still has those available.
Okay. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.